Please be seated. In psychological science, power is defined as one's capacity to alter another person's condition or state of mind by providing or withholding resources, such as food, money, knowledge, affection, or administrating punishments such as physical harm, job termination, or social ostracized, or being socially ostracized. Human beings can easily be enamored with and by power. There is a part of us that longs for it, that desires it, that covets it. However power is manifest, it can give us a sense of control, a sense of stability and permanence. It makes us believe that we can stand over and against situations and people that life throws at us. And even when we cannot exert this power, we tend to turn towards those we believe will exercise it on our behalf. They will do it for us. However, throughout history, we have witnessed those with power who lack self-control and a universal moral compass can wreak havoc in the world. When we grant power to a leader, we increase their ability to make our lives better or worse. And leaders are propelled forward in one of two ways: towards the abuse of power with impulsive and unethical actions, or towards benevolent behavior that advances and protects the common good. And we are witnesses today to this playing out on the world stage. A leader who desires the common good juxtaposed against a leader who does not. And the Palm Sunday narrative provides the same stark contrast. It flips the traditional notion of power right on its head, for it is the complete and utter subversion of power. And it is rich with symbols of power. For example, waving palm branches was a sign of military conquest over an oppressive enemy. The people were showing that day that they were ready for war. They were ready for the blood of the Romans to be spilled in an uprising that they hoped Jesus would lead them in. The whole city of Jerusalem is in an uproar as Jesus rides boldly into the midst of them, and the people earnestly and gladly support him, shouting praise God for the Son of David, blessings on him who comes in the name of the Lord, praise God in the highest heavens. Of course, the irony is that in a few days, this loud endorsement, some of these people would bow to political pressure and desert him. And they would stand in a courtyard yelling for his death. But here he is, entering Jerusalem as a king. However, he is no normal king. He is no Caesar. Caesar exercised power through force, fear, and bloodshed, and was even viewed as a god. The late New Testament scholar and theologian Marcus Borg writes in the last week, two processions entered Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. It was the beginning of the week of Passover, the most sacred week of both the Christian and the Christian year, Jewish and the Christian year. It was a peasant procession. The other, an imperial procession. And from the east, Jesus rode a donkey or a colt down the Mount of Olives, cheered on by his followers. And on the opposite side of the city from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. I love this. Board continues. A visual panoply of imperial power. Cavalry on horses. Can you hear and smell this? Foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapon banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glistening on the metal and gold, shouts, the marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust. Compare that with Jesus, riding into one of the world's greatest cities on a donkey, a sign of kinship. This is not the triumphal entry we would expect from the King of Kings. It wasn't a glorious parade filled with earth's finest things. Instead, Jesus constantly subverts our human understanding of authority, power, and kingly reign. He set a tone that would be different. He would be a different kind of king. One who intertwined power and authority with humility and grace with truth and justice. Jesus, without chariots, wore horses and the bows of battle, just the promise of God's power and presence proclaiming God's kingdom is here. But our human kingdom simply cannot handle this sort of thing. Our kingdoms need power over others. Our kingdoms need force as our most trusted tool. Our kingdoms need weapons of war. The kingdom of God, however, the kingdom Jesus spent his entire life striving to bring about, has no room for such things. It is a kingdom of love, of humility, of service, of grace, of mercy, and compassion. It is a kingdom inaugurated by the radical forgiveness of our enemies. Indeed, it is an incomprehensible kingdom inaugurated by an incomprehensible Messiah. But it is a kingdom that is always a reality should we choose to live in it. And even when we are confronted with our own tendencies to faithlessness, to being in that courtyard, to denial three times, to turning away, as so many did that day. For each of us knows the cost of following Christ, the cost of discipleship is really high. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is a journey of death. Journey to our own power and instead living each and every life in Christ. It is not for sprinters. It is a marathoner. It is for long distance runners. And to make the journey will take up most of our life and then some. And we won't always get it right. We are going to mess up, I guarantee you. In fact, we'll probably mess up today if we haven't messed up already this morning. Put my hand up on that one. Yet we are prisoners of hope, Zechariah writes, it's beautiful. Yet we are prisoners of hope whose God wants to give us double blessings for each of our troubles. And though Paul writes, we are pressed on every side by troubles, we are not crushed. We are not hunted down, but we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Jesus endured the cheering crowds, knowing that they would turn against him. But he still made the journey. I read this thing the other day. Courage is doing something that you know will hurt and you will do it anyway. Stupidity is the same thing. You can just go with that one if you'd like. He made the journey from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday so that he could journey into our hearts and the lives of all we know. He's always saying, give your power to me. Give it me. Learn the freedom of powerlessness. Scripture is clear. Our lives no longer belong to us. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. 2 Corinthians 6. The life we live right now, in 2022, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It is about the one who died for us. And today, Jesus enters Jerusalem knowing he is to be crucified. That is the objective. He sets, I love Luke, right? He sets his eyes like flint towards Jerusalem. For Jesus, the cross was his secret throne, on which he will reign with love, stretching his arms to encompass all of humanity and sacrificing himself for the whole world. The cross is a sign of the kingdom of Christ. It is the sign of the Son of Man, and at the same time, it is the sign of overwhelming love. And it is the sign of sacrifice. For through the cross, there is no room for selfishness. Self-esteem, or hatred or resentment. When we enter the kingdom of Jesus on this day, it means our acceptance to become deep in love every day, not only for our close ones, but for everyone. It is about what Jesus does in our lives, for our lives, and through our lives. And this is what it means to be a disciple, a learner, a follower of the way. So today, our journey to Jerusalem begins again. And we remember the journey that Jesus has taken for us. We remember the road that Jesus has traveled, and we rejoice that it was love for us that led him to do it. How will we respond to such great a love? How will we respond to such great a love? Will we also walk that road of love? For it is a road that is not well traveled. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the life you've given us to live. For the sun rising to start another day and the reminders of your creation surrounding us. When we witness a beautiful mark of your creative hand, let us recall that Christ was with you too when the world began and the sound of your voice. He eventually came to earth and witnessed the same sunrise we now see. He looked into the stars and the sky and now looks down upon us prayerfully with love. With grateful hearts, we praise you, God, for who you are and who we are in you. Let the peace of Christ's Palm Sunday entrance remain in our memories. And when we are fearful and anxious, help us to recall the peace in which he rode into that city so soon after to be crucified. Help us to act in grace and peace in the face of fear, both known and unknown, knowing you are incredibly close. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.